History at hand, revision at your fingertips.
On the 13th of August 1961, the people of Berlin woke up to find that their city had been divided. Over the course of the next few days, that barbed wire barrier became something more permanent. Concrete blocks were erected, lookout towers, minefields, vehicle traps were all established in order to prevent any movement of Berliners from the eastern sector of the city to the west. So why did this come about, and what was done to resolve it? From the end of the Second World War, Germany had undergone massive upheaval. It had been divided into four zones of occupation: French, British and American in the west, and Soviet in the east. The city of Berlin itself was divided into four sectors, even though it lay deep within the Soviet zone. This was also a Germany that had lost a war, been stripped of most of its eastern territories, and also suffered from massive economic dislocation. Competing models between the East and the West about what to do with Germany resulted in one of the first major clashes of the Cold War, the Berlin blockade. Here, Stalin, if we remember, wanted to prevent all traffic getting into West Berlin in order to try and force it to fall under Soviet control. The West responded with the airlift, and for 11 months, plane load after plane load of supplies arrived to provide for the people of West Berlin. Seeing that he wasn't able to win on this occasion, Stalin gave up, but it resulted in the permanent division of Germany into a democratic and capitalist West Germany, the Federal Republic, and the Communist East, the German Democratic Republic. With the assistance of martial aid, West Germany was soon able to become an economic powerhouse again. It enjoyed a 20-year economic miracle. In the East, though, things were not making as much progress. For those living in the East, they had fewer material benefits. They also suffered from a lack of freedom and political control. This divide was most clearly acute in the city of Berlin, with its western sector, which was a beacon of capitalism and democracy, surrounded by the communists with their more miserable form of existence. When faced with the choice of a life under Soviet domination, dominated by the secret police and the workings of the Communist Party, or the greater material wealth and the political freedoms of the West, the obvious choice seemed to be to emigrate. Mass emigration started in the early 1950s and reached a peak in 1953, the year that Stalin died. From 1952, the border between East and West Germany, the Inner German border as it was called, was actually sealed, making it much harder for East Germans to move to the West. Yet, Berlin still acted as a loophole through which people could move. East German efforts to control this movement through passports and travel restrictions failed to actually stop Berlin becoming a magnet for people seeking to move to the West. Within the city, you could literally walk to a life of greater freedom. By 1961, about 3.5 million East Germans had left. That's about 20% of the whole population. To make matters worse for the East German authorities, many of those leaving were of working age and from skilled or intellectual backgrounds. This led to a brain drain, and many of the most talented and able people to make East Germany a success had chosen to leave. Without its lawyers, skilled workers, teachers, doctors, engineers and technicians, East Germany would find it hard to improve the material prosperity of its people. In June 1961, the leader of East Germany, Walter Ulbricht, said no one had the intention of erecting a wall. Yet, within 2 months, under the orders of Nikita Khrushchev, he was forced to sign an order which would put up the barricade between East and West. So what were Khrushchev's motives in allowing this to happen? Perhaps he was frustrated about the fact that many Germans would much rather live under a capitalist than communist system. He also wanted to try and test the new young President Kennedy. After Soviet success with the first man in space, the construction of the world's biggest ever atomic bomb, the Tsar Bomber, and the failure of Kennedy in Cuba at the Bay of Pigs, it seemed like Khrushchev had the upper hand over his young and inexperienced rival. By By building this wall, it would make Kennedy again look weak and could threaten the position of American troops within West Berlin. The official reason given for the building of the wall by the East Germans was that it was the anti-fascista Schutzwall, the anti-fascist protective rampart. They claimed that Berlin was rife with spies seeking to sabotage and disrupt life in the East. The implication being that this wall was built because Nazism hadn't been fully eradicated from Germany. The building of the wall had a very significant effect on the people of Germany and Berlin in particular. This wall divided families. People found they were no longer able to get to their place of work. Anyone trying to get across the barrier could be shot on sight. One thing is for certain, though. It stopped the movement of people from East Germany. It kept them imprisoned in their communist state. As Western propagandists were quick to point out, the only way to keep the people in was to build a wall around them. Through the 28 years of the wall's lifetime, there were about 5,000 successful defections. Through tunnels, through driving at high speed, through microlights, hot air balloons, even going along a zip wire. At the same time, there were probably somewhere between 100 and 200 people killed, failing in their efforts. The building of the wall led to an immediate diplomatic crisis. Kennedy couldn't really do anything about the building of the wall. After all, it was on East German territory. But he could present some sort of response to ensure that American troops and their Western allies would remain firm in Berlin. He gave commitments to the Berliners that he wouldn't abandon them. Tensions continued in Berlin over the next few months. American troops and diplomats sought to test the Russians to see if the agreements made at the end of 1945 and the Second World War would still stand. At one stage in October 1961, Soviet and American tanks confronted each other at Checkpoint Charlie, the only real crossing point which was still left available. The standoff was eventually resolved, with the tanks reversing 5 meters away from the point of confrontation at a time. The wall was going to remain in place for the next 28 years. Indeed, it became a symbol of the divided world and the Cold War. In some respects, the building of the wall actually helped superpower relations. It clarified the situation in Berlin and Germany. It stopped a point of tension by enclosing the Western powers into their sectors. Kennedy himself said, "It's not a very nice solution, but a wall is a hell of a lot better than a war." The propaganda value of the wall, though, was very significant. Kennedy was quick to point out how this was a prison wall for the East German people. In one of his most famous addresses, he actually said, "Ich bin ein Berliner." The people of the free world would stand side by side with the people of Berlin to celebrate their freedoms. He said, "There are many people in the world who don't really understand, or say they don't, what is the great issue between the free world and the communist world. Let them come to Berlin. There are some who say that communism is the wave of the future, let them come to Berlin. And there are some who say in Europe and elsewhere we can work with the communists, let them come to Berlin. There are even a few who say that it is true that communism is an evil system, but it permits us to make economic progress. Let them come to Berlin. Freedom has many difficulties, and democracy is not perfect. But we have never had to pull a wall up to keep our people in, to prevent them from leaving us. Goodbye, and good luck."